So you this is your episode.
Okay.
It's all yours.
Sounds good.
I'm just going to sit back, relax, and listen to the show, which I hardly ever do.
Why would you? Hey everybody, welcome to Sneaky Dragon episode 96. I'm Ian.
I'm David.
Let's just get started. This show is packed.
This show is packed
to busting. We do not have any time for our normal flip-flap dip-dap. We got to get right to it.
Any flibbity-do?
Yeah, we can do some flibbity-do and okay. Hibbity-jibbits. All right, first thing out of the way, plugs. Plugs. Let's get the plugs out of the
okay.
way. Last Wednesday of the month, they do a show called The Critical Hit Show. It's a live Dungeons & Dragons thing. You should go to it. If you're in Kelowna or Vernon or Nelson mid-month, I am doing a tour with Roman Danilo, the ultimate comedy show with my sketch group Titmouse. Go to see those shows there.
Wait a second. I misunderstood. So if your name is Vernon or Nelson, you should go to the show in Kelowna.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's exactly how that works.
All right.
We're doing five-hour drives in a very tiny car. We're doing that for you guys. So please, if you're there, show up.
And it's one show every week, so you're driving back up there for the next
that's right. We've planned this. It's been terrible.
Perfect.
It is the worst. It's not the worst tour plan I've ever been on.
No.
But they're all like about one day from each other, so that's fine. Yeah. And as always, folks, once again, the winter is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The winter.
Yeah.
As they say on Game of Snow and Fire and Ice, that show that we all enjoy. Winter
Never
is coming.
Seen it.
Winter's
a-coming?
Winter's a-coming.
Yeah.
Storms are brewing. And you're going to need more than one shirt. You're saying like, hey, Ian, I'm already wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
That's true. But this is double shirt weather, brother.
You didn't hear the storms are brewing?
That's right. So if you want an extra shirt to put on top of that shirt or under the shirt, we're not going to judge you.
Yeah.
A little under the shirt action. Who didn't enjoy that back in high school? Well, we didn't. I'll tell you, we didn't.
What base is that?
That base?
Yeah.
We didn't even get off the bench.
You're still in the dugout.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to make the orange drink dispenser work. Then why not get a shirt off the Sneaky Dragon?
Because I had a lot of problem with my mitt.
Okay.
Go on.
That's fine. No, that's I've got no more to say beyond that.
Oh, you just the church. Okay, I got a brief plug.
Okay.
I'm going to say we're going to move the plugs to the end of the show next week.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Are you sick of this?
I just think we should switch it up a bit.
Sure, sure. You know what? I say we do the plugs like on a different episode. Then that'd be helpful for.
We should do an all-plug episode.
Oh, I like that a lot. Oh, and here's another thing coming up. We're just going to hint at this because we haven't confirmed the location yet. But for our 100th episode, we're going to be having a special show that if you would like to come to, you can come to.
Yeah. It's be very special. It's our 100th show.
Yeah, I'm saying this to you, Dave. If you want to come to
I want to come. You were looking at me, actually, when you said that. I didn't take.
I'm hoping that you will RSVP.
Yeah.
So please
will,
do that.
I'll put maybe on the Facebook invite.
And if the rest of you want to come, just say your name is Dave, and we'll let you in.
I'll be on the guest list under Dave.
He'll be in Vancouver. We have not picked a location. We're trimming the locations down. There's one place
we're at zero. We want to trim it down into
zero.
The negative.
That's right.
Into a negative, where we actually have refusals to let us in.
Absolutely.
That's what we're hoping for.
We've got special guests. It's going to be fun, and the actual show itself, looking forward to that a lot.
Yep.
But right now, we are homeless.
Yeah.
And we're hitchhiking at the side of the road looking for venues with our podcasting equipment.
Yes.
Now, the other thing I want to bring up is, Dave, I want the two of us to get rich, and I've got an idea.
Okay.
All right. Now, you've got daughters, and you've got a wife.
Okay.
I want to sell them. No.
This doesn't involve anything with mule in it, does it?
No, it does not. Here's the thing. We were talking a little bit earlier about TV shows that your daughters and wife make you watch. Shows with teen wolves.
Teen wolves, yeah.
And that
Common.
Sort of thing, like supernatural shows. Shows where gentlemen fight monsters and or are monsters and are shirtless and or showering.
Well, you know what's funny? Supernatural kind of almost falls out of that. Because what's weird about Supernatural is it's got two hunky guys.
Okay.
It's got Jared and the other guy on the show. And
they call him not Jared on the
they
show.
They call him not Jared. And most of the time, they're wearing about four or five layers of clothes. Uh-huh. Which is weird because they're hunky guys. There have been episodes. There's one where like Jared is doing like chin ups or something at a bar.
Yeah.
Like not at a bar. Like he's not drinking at a bar, but he's like at a bar hanging from a doorway. He's doing chin ups. No particular reason other than the fact that he's very well muscled.
Well, I remember there was a thing on Buffy the Vampire Slayer where certain actors would go, ugh, we have that shirtless scene in a couple of weeks. Got to start doing the working out. Because when you're on a set for a show like that, if you're one of the main characters, that's like 15, 16-hour days. You do not actually have time to hit the gym.
Yeah.
You're just like always doing something. So, you know, you got to really jam in those push-ups.
Oh, well, yeah. It's always terrible to me that when my wife goes to bed before I do, because then I have to do some push-ups before I go in and get changed into my pajamas. Because you just want to be a little defined.
That's right.
You know,
and you put on a little...
you don't want to be disappointing.
Yeah, you put on a little I'm Too Sexy music when you're walking into the bedroom.
I have the tiger.
Yeah,
that's... doing the push-ups.
Sure. That also works. So here's what I'm thinking.
I can only do 5 push-ups, though. So it's just like... dun, dun, dun,
perfect.
Dun, dun, and then I turn it off. And
that's absolutely... That's the amount of push-ups you should do. What I think we need to do is we need to create a show that that involves fellas who are shirtless... showering, who are monsters.
Yes.
And so here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
You know, the overlooked
monster. Not Teen Wolf.
No, because werewolves, been done.
Yeah,
vampires,
done to death.
Been done. Mummies, there's been too many mummy movies with Brendan Fraser. We're mummied out.
Mummied out.
So now what does that leave in the whole world of monsters? Your Creature from the Black Lagoons.
Yes.
So what I'm thinking...
We're taking this back a few shows here.
Here's what I'm thinking. Okay. All right, I'm going to pitch you on this.
Okay.
Creature from the Black Lagoon, in the oldie days, you know, it goes for that beautiful lady, falls in love with the beautiful lady.
Yeah.
What if the beautiful lady back then had fallen in love with him? What if they had a baby? What if that baby now was a handsome guy in his early 20s? But here's the thing. He's got those aqua powers, but he always has to shower or he'll die. So he's trying to do good things, but he's part monster.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Only like sexy gills. He's got sexy gills that you see every so often.
So sometimes they'll be like sideburns.
Yeah.
They'll be like sideburns and they have those kind of fins that sort of pop out, but sideburn-like.
Love it. That totally works.
Yeah.
And then like every so often he'll be like in the middle of a fight with someone or like another monster or a monster hunter who doesn't understand. You know, here's the thing. The monster hunter's a lady. Okay, a monster hunting lady.
Yeah, of course, with a lot of testosterone.
And she thinks that her family was killed by the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah.
He was not,
though. Doesn't know it was a creature from the Blue Lagoon.
That's right. Blue Lagoon was trying to do it. Black Lagoon was trying to save him. And blah, 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 blah. So she's trying to hunt this guy down to murder him, too. But then she's conflicted. She's got a moral code. Anyway, they may fall in love later. We'll talk about that later. But in the middle of a fight, he will dehydrate all the time, have to find the nearest gym, go to the showers, and just like just wet himself down for a while. And that, and you have that scene.
Yeah.
Boom. And then back into action.
You don't even like have to have a shower. Like you can just have him like getting wet in his T-shirt. Like a little wet T-shirt action would be good, too.
That can also go. But I think, like, just to be safe, for the first 6 episodes, mandatory 3 showers an episode.
Yeah. And he drives around one of those ducks. One of those vehicles that can also drive, amphibious vehicles that can drive in the water as well.
That car should have a name, then. What's that?
A duck.
Well, no, they already
called it is called
a duck.
Oh,
yeah, so we need, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon. So this would be the Creature from the Black Lagoon Buddy.
Lagoon Buggy.
Dune Buggy. Lagoon Buggy.
There you go.
There you go. It's the Lagoon Buggy. That's exactly what it is. See, folks, this is brainstorming.
This is how we made our millions.
Yeah.
That we don't have.
Now, you can't call it Creature from the Black Lagoon. You got to call it something like just Lagoon or Blackie or Creature or something like that.
How about...
Splashdown.
We can kind of go for a callback to an earlier kids movie and call it Lagoonies.
Lagoonies. Boom. Done.
We're finished.
Okay, folks. Listen, after our 100th show, we're going to be rich and we will not need you anymore. Right. There.
We won't need to do the show anymore because, you know, we don't need the money we're making from this show.
Someone is listening to this, scratching this idea down and will actually do it. And then we're going to feel like right assholes for having given this away.
They'll do it better than we did.
Well, that's the thing. Whenever I used to watch like Arrow, or I tried to, and now I'm going to try again this season because people seem to say it's good. But like
They seem to say it's good, or they say it seems to be good.
That's a interesting distinction. What's the difference?
Well, if they seem to say it's good, it's like they're kind of like, yeah, it's pretty
good. I would say people generally that watch it say it's good.
So what you're telling me is the people who watch it and like it say it's good. But the people who watch it and don't like it don't say it's good.
Well, because they don't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would stop. But when I started to watch it, there was a lot of working out. It was like... It was like about 20 minutes exercise video.
Where is there a lot of Eye of the Tiger?
Esque songs, yeah.
Esque songs.
Yeah, they definitely do have that. And he's just like doing his makeshift chains, lifting chains with cinder blocks and all this business. And the guy's a rich dude, right? Like, buy some weights. Like, it's not hard to get the Bowflex.
He's a rich dude. Who's the rich dude?
The rich dude is Oliver Queen. He's the Arrow.
Is that Green Arrow?
Yes, but they just call him Arrow because I guess Green Arrow just sounds too silly.
Well, because
he is Green Arrow.
All his arrows aren't green.
Aren't they?
No. Some of them are black. Some of them are red.
Okay. I assume he doesn't have the boxing glove arrow that the cartoon character has.
He has to.
Poof. Just get a guy with that. How does that fly?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. I was like the boxing glove arrow and the net arrow, but he had it. He had.
Well, I thought you meant how does that whole idea fly?
No, you're just saying, I just mean
specifically, how does it physically fly?
Yeah, well,
it's like a bumblebee. It doesn't know that it can't fly. And I know the bumblebees can really fly. I just like the whole story of
that. Fair enough. Fly. Bumblebee was also a character in the Teen Titans.
That's too bad.
I will have. I've had enough of your bumblebee bashing, sir.
After he was dead, he was called Bumblebean.
That's right. Dave and I, 2 days ago, did some physical labor together.
That's true. We did.
Dave helped move my sister-in-law, Vicky.
We had to carry her in a chair.
That's right.
Around town.
Cleopatra style.
Well, Justin Bieber style, up the Great Wall of China.
Sure. That's exactly what we had to do. She was moving residences. And here's the thing. If you need to move, Dave is a guy to call. And I'm saying that just as listeners, contact Dave. He will help you move.
That's right.
And he is a good guy to have there. One, he is a strong man.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he has a good sense of physics. So if you're moving, say, that couch out that door, he's the guy who goes, turn it this way, and his instructions make sense. Turn it topwise, double spin it, no, lunge back,
uh-huh.
No, the up ways.
Well, I have a moving company. It's called One Big Man with a Small Heart.
Oh, you should see a doctor.
Why?
That doesn't sound good.
Oh, okay. The heart isn't small. It's a euphemism. But anyway, go on.
Oh, you got euphemism?
I should
see a doctor.
Yeah. Euphemismitis.
Okay. You should, cream will take care of that.
I'm just trying to deflect the compliments that you're giving me.
Okay. Please do. But she lived in a very, almost a hobbit-like environment.
It was kind of a sketchy place she was living in.
It really
that would be the description
was.
I would give it.
It really was a bit of a sketchy place.
And here's what I didn't like about it.
What's that?
Well, Vicky, your sister-in-law Vicky, is shorter than I am. But I could not stand upright in her domicile.
Yeah.
It was very low.
Well, there was only certain parts that she could stand upright.
That's right.
Slanted rooms.
She had to walk in a straight line at all times.
This is a Vancouver situation that I found when we were looking for a house to rent, me and Pia, my wife. Mm. You go into a basement.
Yes.
And it barely clears my head.
Yeah.
And they're...
Pre-code.
Yeah. And over again, they'll say, oh, all you have to do is raise the house up.
Oh, that's all.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
That's
you
right.
know what? That's something I could tell Superman and he'd go, I don't know, brother. But it only costs about $50,000. Well, let me just see
how
what
much
I got in my
50,000?
That's what they
50.
50 to raise your house up.
Yeah, I could see that, cuz it would have to be jacked. You'd have to use house jacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have to have the metal poles, and then either they'll use the existing structure or probably not, because your house probably doesn't have like very good beams in it. So they'd have to put like metal I-beams across and then use those to support the house and jack it up, you know, 2 or 3 feet, and then build up the footings, and then it would be quite a bit of work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it would be quite a bit of
work. My brother had to jack up the one side of his house because it was sinking. It was sinking down into his... It was built on
lies.
It was built on lies. That was his marriage. I'm talking about his house. His house was built. It was built on river rock, which you think would be pretty sturdy, right?
Right. You don't have a lot of rivers running wild.
But I guess the rock shifted in some way, and the house started to sink on one side. So the chimney was falling over.
Mm-hmm.
So that was endangering the next door neighbor's house, and then his whole house was like
on a slant.
So we had to take the chimney down and then jack up the house. It was quite exciting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does sound interesting.
It was fun to do.
I'm just impressed. I'm glad
I didn't have to pay
for it. That's neat.
Oh yeah,
those exist.
It's a really, really. It's you've probably seen it. It looks like almost like a piston.
Okay.
It's got this. It's a really thick, round, short. Kind of looks like a bullet with a flat top.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole jack spins. So you put a pole or whatever into it, a rod into it, and then you just spin it around. And you really need to do that once it starts to lift the house up. Then you're really having to pull on this thing. And so there's usually a few of you heaving away on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that is neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoy hearing you talk house stuff. We'll get to deck talk later. Those of you who think this is a lead into deck talk.
It's not.
It's not. But we will be talking deck talk later.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like with the move, as you say, that the last place, way too short on the
roof. And the stairs.
And the stairs were... Here's the nice thing about the stairs. I could not fall down the stairs because I would get jammed down the stairs. It's basically like someone, like a chimney fell sideways and they threw some stairs in there and you climbed up that.
Well, it's like someone had a love of boats and they decided to duplicate the stairs on a boat.
Sure.
That's what it felt like. This had that really narrow, it was narrow and steep. And like, seriously, it made me feel like I was broad-shouldered because my shoulders were rubbing on the walls as I was walking.
Absolutely, yeah, mine too. Going up there was just like, oh boy. It was one of those where we had to move. I did help with this.
Yeah,
you helped. Had to move like a desk out, and it was like, are we moving this down the stairs? Nope. There's no human way possible.
It did not fit. No.
So out the window, over the balcony, it goes attached to a rope.
Yeah,
We're waiting down below to get said desk that is being lowered. The fellow who's lowering it is a jokey guy.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of,
Right. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah. He's a funny name.
I didn't think it was funny when he didn't tie the rope and the desk fell on the both of us.
Well, he only did that like three times. And he had to for the comedy of threes. But we're down below on the deck.
It's the last time I moved with Benny Hill music playing.
That's right. So we're down below on the lower deck. And we are talking about decks. Do you know that stuff they call algae that you see in a pool?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know you can also get it on a deck? And you know if you never clean it off, it is slipperier than ice? They had that going on down there,
that
too.
That was fun.
That was good fun.
Yeah, that made trying to hold a desk fun. And then when I was luring it down to you, down to the next level.
Yeah, then Dave decided, because there's another area of stairs we would have to lower it down. And he went, screw this noise. Let's just drop the fucker off the side, he said. Which was weird, because there was a priest right next to him who went, oh, my. And I went, why don't you help yous? Where's your God now helping us? Not at all. And he went, you're right. And off he went. And then the Pope called and said, like, help them, because that Pope is a Pope that wants to help people. And he went, I'll help, and so the priest had to help. But anyway, I go down below, and then Dave lowers the desk to me.
He helped by exercising the desk.
That's right. And, I'll tell you something about that afterwards. So he's lowering, Dave's lowering the desk to me, and I get a poor grip on it. And it's okay.
After I said, you're all right? You're all right? You're okay? You've got
it?
Okay.
I was until you release. That's the thing. I was like, I think I've got it. And now this bit more weight. Yes, this amount of weight is okay. How about the full amount of weight? Well, this changes everything. And it was okay. Nothing got broken or busted.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
But when you're talking about exorcism.
But I was just going to say, when I was handing the desk down to you, and I'd already started before you went down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I was leaning against the railings and I was thinking, gee, I hope these railings hold. Because I'm leaning full body weight against them holding a desk out into midair. That would have felt kind of silly if I'd suddenly just the whole thing had crashed.
Yeah, that whole house was a fucking trust game, you know. All right, here's the other thing: when Vicky was first moving in there, and I don't know if I've told this story before, but she walks in and the people who own the place are doing a waving some sage around, and I'm like, what's going on with this? And they were doing a sage cleanse. And here's the reason why, Dave. Let me tell you. Because the last roommate, apparently...
was a real turkey.
Oh, that'd be tasty, wouldn't it? Nice sage.
Oh, sage and turkey. That's good in stuffing.
That would be. A mm-hmm. little butter under the skin. Sure. That's so nice. So anyway, the last roommate left because, the place was haunted.
Oh.
Oh. What do you think haunted by, Dave?
I'm going to guess from right or to left field here.
Yeah.
A ghost.
Wrong.
Oh.
No. Because here's the thing about a ghost. A ghost might have unfinished business, take care of said business, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was not haunted by a ghost. Haunted by demons.
Oh.
Apparently demons in the house.
Yeah, well-known haunters.
Not mentioning that there were demons in the house before.
So isn't that the host possessed, not haunted?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I may be incorrect.
You kind of led me down a garden path there, myself.
Really? Yeah. Okay, now I go to a haunted house at the county fair.
Mm-hmm.
Could I see a demon in that house?
I don't know. But
they
you would also
call it a possessed house.
But you would see ghosts as well. You would say the house is possessed. Though.
Okay, now say there's a house and it's got both.
There's a house.
There's a roommate.
There's a roommate.
There's two roommates. One is a ghost, one is a demon.
Okay.
Is this house now possessed, haunted, or both?
I think the ghost takes precedence. That is manners. If you look at Miss Manners' book.
Yeah.
Ghosts always have precedence.
I'm at the haunted. Census Bureau. Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, I'm Census. Hi. Ooh, I'm a ghost.
What are you sensing? That's what you have to ask.
Ah, that's good stuff. Yeah. So I say to the ghost, sir, we have to write down whether this is a possessed house or a haunted house.
Yeah.
And then the ghost would say,
boo.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Excellent work.
Thank you.
So yeah, I mean, they didn't even mention to her about the demons before she moved in. So, you know, this is just, you know, this house was boo. You know, as a ghost.
Wait a second. They didn't mention the demons.
Yeah.
Is that really a deal breaker?
It is when you come home and someone is doing an exorcism. Yeah, but in I mean, room.
That's
if
their own thing.
You moved into a house, like say that's you and your family
okay.
move homes.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, it's a lovely neighborhood. Everything's great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you move in and you're like, wait, Dave, before you come in.
Yeah.
And then you've got four priests all throwing holy water around the joint.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'd be okay with
the
that.
Power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah.
And it's like, we think it's all right now. Enjoy. And they leave. I think you would then go, maybe I should have been informed ahead of time.
No. I could care less.
There are some rules in the States where you have to tell someone if there's been a reported haunting in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what situation with possessing is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 9/10 of the law.
Supernatural law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, we helped with the move, got her into a new place. The ceilings, we cannot reach them with our arms.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Nice hardwood floors. And
it was nice. We tracked mud all over them.
And what are you going to do? It's rainy.
It was the rainiest move I've ever done.
House in Vancouver.
My jacket was wet the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how wet we got.
Vicky and my sister's aunt was there helping us.
Yeah.
And she was so proud of her jacket.
Yes.
That she would not get under awnings to protect her from the rain. And and she learned that this jacket was not waterproof, but water resistant.
Oh.
And the resistance failed in their attempt.
The water on it resists drying.
Yeah, it did not. There was a liberation of dryness, and the wetness took over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I always found that weird. Like when you have a water resistant watch, like it'll put up a mild fight, but then it's going to give up should things go.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was standing on my mic cord.
Oh, I see. All right. Sorry. Very good. I thought you ran over a mouse.
Yeah, no.
So I was feeling that a bit yesterday. A little bit of the old, not so much the aches from the lifty lift, but from the crampy cramp going up. When you have to lift something up a crampy staircase that's mm-hmm. way too small, you have to lift in ways you would not normally sensibly lift. You can't do the old lifting with the legs because your legs are busy, jammed into ways they should not be.
Would it hurt your feelings to know that I didn't hurt me at all or do anything?
No, because you are a strong man. You're Hercules and I'm Newt.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Herc! Hey, Herc!
Okay, that's enough.
Devilus, Herc!
No, that's enough. You can stop.
Okay.
That's the most annoying character, I think, in cartoon history. Don't you think?
Are we counting Scrappy-Doo?
Oh, yeah. Scrappy-Doo. Both Scrappy-Doo and Scooby-Dum. Terrible. Terrible, terrible characters.
Someone was postulating a theory that Scrappy-Doo was so annoying because he was made of the scraps of other sidekicks. Like a little Frankenstein monster.
Well, I think he's so annoying because it's a bad character and not funny.
Well, here's the other annoying thing is it ruins everything with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Because now Scooby-Doo...
He's supposed to be the comedy relief.
One, he's a comedy relief. Two, why is this dog got perfect English? And Scooby-Doo, now is like, is Scooby okay? We just assume...
I'm all right.
You think like he's a very smart dog, smart enough to have a couple of good words.
Yeah.
But then when you got this other articulate dog who's just talking about a minute, buddy, you're like a salesman. I don't know. Then what's Scooby? Yeah. Are you okay? Have you got a speech impediment? Are you all right? What's going on, buddy?
All those Scooby snacks.
The worst.
Straight his teeth.
The worst use of Scrappy-Doo, though. Have you ever seen this show, which was the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo?
Yes.
With Vincent Price?
Yes.
Yes.
It was on Teletoon.
Right, where they ditch, for those of you that have not seen this, don't. Where they ditch all the characters except for Scooby, Scrappy, and Shaggy, the S's.
Yeah.
They just kept all the S ones.
All the Jackasses.
That's right. And then the idea is they added one more wisecracker. Because, that Scrappy ain't enough of wisecracker.
You need
We're going to add a wisecracking little boy.
Oh, yeah. Pepe.
Something like Pepe. And someone opens like a box full of 13 ghosts and they all escape. And they catch them every week. And I believe there's 26 episodes. But they don't catch the same ghost twice. What the fuck, math? Come on. And Vincent Price is... not playing Vincent Price, but I believe he's playing a character called Vincent.
Yeah.
Who's just like, ooh, boys, I'm doing all this Vincent Price stuff. He's cashing a check. He needs the money.
He needed the money.
You know, he can't, you're introducing mystery.
I was going to say, that mystery hosting money only goes so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
And no farther.
Then you're doing car shows. Mm-hmm. And some people are trying to get you to dress as Egghead from Batman. And it's just, what are you going to do?
Did he play Egghead on Batman?
Look up there on the shelf, Dave. You will see an egg, and you will see a Vincent Price.
In a powder blue suit?
That is Vincent Price as Egghead on the Batman TV show.
Oh, okay.
And he would do things like, I have an excellent crime.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a shell of a man. The yoke's on you, yeah. Cape Crusaders. Mm. He appeared about
what
five times. Do you think they'd run out of gags by that point?
No, because he said, want to see my photo album in?
You wish. You wish the jokes had gotten that deep.
Was that deep?
Yeah.
Or desperate.
Enough wise cracks. And so on and so forth. Yeah. Like, you do not... Like, this really
what
was...
What a hard-boiled character.
There you go. Boom. There's about, on your best day, 10 egg jokes in the world. And you cannot have five appearances by Egghead. You can't. It was the same thing with King Tut. There's only about 10 Egyptian gags, and you can't use Pain in the Ass because it's the 60s.
It's too close.
Yeah.
I want my mummy.
But yes. And then you're done. Now wrap it up and be a new character.
Wrap it up. That's good.
Boom. There you go. Then you had... Yeah. Oh, here's a...
He's quite a sarcophagi.
Ooh, well played.
Thank you.
Here's a trivia question that you probably not care to answer. What actor played villains on both the Batman animated series, as in the Bruce Timm version, and the 1960s Adam West version? An actor. He's I'm going to give you this one. He's British.
He's British, and it would be he played the Penguin.
Are you saying Burgess Meredith is British?
Isn't he?
I don't believe he is.
Oh, I thought he was. Roddy McDowall.
Yes.
Okay.
That's absolutely right. Well done.
I think you told us that before on the show.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, good for me. Look, it's almost 100 fucking episodes. Much like Egghead, I've only got so many damn jokes. Okay. But yeah, Roddy McDowall played both. He played both the bookworm on the.
I think that makes you a bit of a rotten egg.
And he was. Oh boy! And then he was also the Mad Hatter on the animated version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. I hope everyone's marking this in their. For those keeping score at home, I hope you mark that in your book. Because next time I'm going to mark it in my book, so that when you start bringing it up next time, I'll be like, actually, in from show 64 and one, or sorry, in 96, we talked about this.
Okay. Clearly, you have some fresh deck talk to talk about today.
All right, do the song.
Yeah, all right. Deck talk. Okay, go.
That was interesting. You know what?
It was originally written for saxophone.
Deck talk.
It was an instrumental. It was a Henry Mancini instrumental.
Deck talk, deck talk, deck talk, deck talk, deck talk, deck talk, deck talk.
You do it to Baby Elephant Walk? Because maybe we could do Deck Talk Elephant Walk. There might be something there.
No, I couldn't.
Okay.
Because I can't even think of how you would get the... How does Baby Elephant Walk go?
No, it's not. Now I'm doing Sanford and Son. Shit.
Yeah, it's one of those songs that is just on the tip of your head.
It's not even on the tip of my head. It's the kind of song that any other song is so much stronger. It just pushes it out of your head.
Only a baby elephant. It's not a full-grown one.
Right. God damn. Anyway.
You're getting the song Elephant by the White Stripes.
Yeah, I'm getting the film Elephant by Gus Van Sant.
In the way. That's okay. In the way of a lot of movies. All right. Deck Talk.
All right, Deck Talk with Dave.
Nothing.
Oh, you've done no deck work this week.
I haven't done nothing. I did take some...
Will your deck be finished by the 100th episode?
No.
Should we just shoot the 100th episode on your deck?
If you want to straddle a joist...
Should we do it live on your deck and just bring people out to the house?
Well, we could. Serve some drinks. Have a little barbecue.
It's a little far to go. Maybe
it is.
We'll do a live...
It is.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should have a live deck cam.
That's right.
And just have it like set up.
That's right.
And just show and have the deck there as a guest during the 100th episode.
Well, it'll be like one of those, like an eagle cam where it just looks like the eggs.
Yes.
And they're just sitting there for months on end as you're waiting for them to hatch.
Well, in the States, because right now the government is shut down. All things like the panda cams at the zoo and what have you, they've all shut down. They've stopped feeding the animals. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be
fine.
They
just leave all the gates open and just let nature take care of itself.
Sure, sure.
But all those cameras are now available, so we could probably get one of those on the cheap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good idea.
Boom. So there, done and done. We'll do live deck cam for the 100th episode.
I did take some fantastic footage of on Saturday. I went out to edit the show and do the title card. And it started raining terrifically. Like just this most terrible rain came down. And it was so loud, I couldn't hear anything. Like I could not hear the show. the rain's coming down on the tarp. And so I took some video of that. So I'm hoping to get it up on the website.
Nice. You know what? We could put a loop on that, make some white noise, make ourselves some money.
Yeah.
People enjoy a bit of white
noise. It was noisy. So you can see all the rain coming down outside. And it was pretty exciting.
Nice. I like
it. I was like, I hope that tarp holds. And so what I've been doing, this has been my work on the deck for the last week and a bit, is I come home. And I have this old kind of a dryer hose, you know, like one of those thick.
First of all, you come home, you watch a couple of Teen Wolves with the girls.
No, this is what I do. This as soon as I don't even go in the house.
Understood.
I just put my stuff down by the door, and I go around to the back, and I have this old. It's like it's like one of the kind of thicker kind of hoses that you use for a dryer.
When you
whatever.
Say dryer hose, yeah, that makes sense.
Or maybe a washing machine hose, I should say. This one of those kind of thick black ones, and so I use that as I had an extra length of it, and I used to do this when my brother stored his boat in our yard. And then I go and I siphon water off the tarp. So I just suck on this rainwater, spit it out, and just let this incredible amount of water.
Uh-huh.
This is amazing how much water it can be sitting in like a pocket on your tarp. And it's just one side. The other side, I guess because the one side has so much water in it, it's pulled the other side tight.
Yeah.
That side is as tight as a, as tight things.
Drum, as they say.
As tight as a drum. As tight as a nun's drum. And so...
Dave's band in high school was named Nun's Drum.
Tight as a Nun's Drum. And so the other side, it's all loose and slack because it's had all this water pooling in it. And the other side is just
as
like
as loose
tight.
As a priest's drum.
As loose as a priest's morals. And so...
We're only talking about that priest who wouldn't help us move.
That guy was an asshole.
Yeah.
Morals.
Father McDouchebag. I went to confession and he had a webcam going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just put it right all over the net. What a douchebag that guy was.
The confession cam. And so, I would just come in, just slurp up a little water, then let the rest, pour out.
Put a breath mint in.
Pour out. And there's about four spots where it likes to gather into these kind of... The problem is it's the water's gathering and it's pulling the tarp down in between the joists. So if I didn't, get rid of it, it would just keep pulling it down.
Yeah.
So that's been my... Because it's just been raining every single day. I mean... Yeah. For instance, the day that we moved Vicky's stuff, it rained like a son of a bitch.
Yes.
I think is the technical term.
And what you were saying, like we were tracking mud into the place, there's no way you can't.
No.
Look, you're in Vancouver, you're moving, it's going to get money.
It's going to get money.
And that's why we've invented a thing called the mop. People in Vancouver invented the mop.
That's right. And so but this weekend, I heard it was supposed to be sunny Saturday and Sunday.
Today, right now. Would be sunny. perfect stuff on your deck weather.
I could, because really what I have to do is I have to go up, because the way my tarp is, I have my tarp set up so it's like a tent. I have these two.
By the way, deck top has been talk has been replaced by tarp talk.
This is tarp talk, tarp it's, trap.
Yeah.
So the tarp.
It's a tarp is what we're going to be calling it.
Is that what we're going to call it?
Yeah.
It's a tarp. It's a tarp! Exclamation mark.
Yep.
Okay, I got it. So okay, I like that.
Okay, well, there's your title card for this week.
So I've got this piece, these two pieces of wood that I made into an L, basically, and so I can it slopes down on either side, so it's like a tent, I guess is what. And so I would have to take off the tarp, which has all these milk jugs full of water attached to it to weigh it down so that it doesn't blow away and it doesn't get slack and more slack than it does already, and the water goes in. So I would have to take all the milk jugs off, roll the tarp back off the deck, then take those pieces of wood off, then start putting, then start placing the plywood on, and then start cutting and screwing down the plywood. And so, what I mean is I need some time. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
Like, a two-hour window really isn't enough. By the time I got everything off, I would barely have any time to do anything before it was time to put everything back on again.
Absolutely.
Before it gets dark out. So, yeah, I was hoping, Saturday would be a nice day, but I was looking at my phone, the weather thingy on it. just got curious out of curiosity today, and it said it would be rainy on, or at least overcast on Saturday, but sunny on Sunday.
Okay.
So maybe.
Good luck to you on that.
You never know.
It makes me feel sorry for, say, a Dexter, having to put down all those tarps every week for his murders.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the fun for him, though.
Yeah, you know what? He probably does have a good time doing that.
I think it's part of the process. Yeah, it's part
good
of
for
the,
him.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the a siren behind you, which, once again, everyone take a drink.
Is Dexter over now?
Yes, it is.
Gee, that didn't really go out with a bang, did it?
It went out, and people watched the ending and went, seriously?
Oh, really? I didn't see it. Okay. It's sitting on my PVR at home.
Okay.
But
this is what you probably will do at the end of it. Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't. I felt like that about the end of last season, so I just haven't been able to work up the interest.
That's okay. You do not have to work
up. I feel like it ended a while ago.
You know what? Sometimes things end before they end.
Well, that's an example of a show.
Around episode 60.
64, after your talk about the Roddy McDowell being on. Once you repeated that, show's over.
But where I was kind of going with the ambulance thing was I wanted to, or whatever that was just before you got here. Actually, you were waiting outside for a while, and my text wasn't working.
I was out there for 20 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
Yell up! You're right under an open window. I'm freezing in here because I've got the window open for you to yell.
I was in the bookstore.
Okay, then you're fine. But just before, I look out the window, and a cyclist comes, and a guy opens his door, and boom, the guy goes flying.
Oh, my gosh, that's dangerous.
And there's a lot of swear.
Yeah.
And the guy, and the cyclist is on the ground, you know, going like, well, great job, man. Now I can't walk. I can't walk at all. Fuck, you know, you fuck. And the guy's really calm, actually, like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're a fucking asshole. Couldn't be more sorry. What sorry? And then the police show up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the guy can walk fine. Just hops up. He's fine. It's like, what's this all business? Yeah. Hey, da, da, da. Yeah. But it was an impressive, like, the guy went flying.
Yeah. Well, I think cars, you know, how side view mirrors have the objects maybe closer than they appear warning in them.
Yeah.
I think we know that now. I think what it should replace that with is watch out for cyclists.
Yep.
Just something to remind us, because it's happened to me too, that you don't think about it and you open your door. And I almost hit someone out front of your place myself one time. Fortunately, I didn't open it all the way. I just had started and this guy went, whoop, and I stopped and he went past. But it could happen because you're not thinking about, you know, you're thinking about cars, you're thinking about, you know, what, but this doesn't occur to you, a cyclist.
Yeah, it's now, just not... nowadays, like, driving school should definitely, really, cyclists are the
thing.
I was having this discussion with another fellow yesterday. He was saying the exact same thing. It's like cyclists are...
Okay, let's not talk about it then.
Well, when he doesn't even turn right on red anymore, he says,
I don't want to bore you.
Cyclists.
He doesn't turn on red.
Right on red because he's worried about cyclists.
Oh, for sure.
And I was saying,
okay.
Also, strollers. Holy cow, there's a lot of strollers.
Yeah.
Big strollers that you don't see. Yeah. Low strollers.
Yeah.
Scary.
No, I still turn right on.
Of
but I can understand why
you hate babies.
It's not that I hate babies. It's just I like to run them over. But it has nothing to do with hatred or...
It's just for good luck.
It's for good luck.
No, the one thing that gets me as...
I call it a christening.
As a pedestrian is the cyclist coming up behind you when I'm wearing headphones. And they're coming up behind you and you move a little bit and you almost get hit or you get hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, get off the sidewalk, man. Like, I understand things are... if things are so bad that you have to get on the sidewalk, then you walk your bike on the sidewalk.
Sure.
That's how that goes. I understand you don't want to walk on the road. It's too dangerous. Well, then we're all walking because what's it called? A side ride? Yeah. No, sir. It is called sidewalk. And unless you are the lord of the dictionary and want to change a definition, sir, I say get off that
bike.
What
if someone's running on the sidewalk?
Eh, what are you going to do? Like, I think I don't mind getting hit by a runner. Like, that's annoying. But getting hit by a cyclist, bike tire on the back of your legs, that's a bad
thing.
Yeah,
that doesn't feel nice. Yeah, I can see. That's one of my objections to cyclists is that this idea that they have a very gray kind of understanding of what they are. Because there's this idea that they're a car. And so sometimes you'll have cyclists that are sitting in the turn lane, like in the left turn lane on the advanced screen.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man. Like, you're a cyclist. You can maybe get through on the advanced screen and leave three or four other cars stranded because it's slow. A bike is slow. Like,
for all the people who are like complaining about the bike lanes and what now, I'd say like, okay, here's the trade-off for the bike lanes. We're going to add the bike lanes, but then you're now a vehicle. Like, if you don't have bike lanes, okay, well, maybe we're all the wild, wild fucking west.
Yeah.
But once we've put those in, now here's the rules and here's the way this goes.
So should bicyclists have a license?
That is a tough one. Because I think you should be...
Because they can get charged. Like, you can get a ticket for breaking the law as a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how often it's charged. Like, I was one that, you know, I'm thinking about the other day, I was watching this cyclist and he's riding along like he's a car, but then there was a pedestrian light. So he ran the red light and then crossed the street as a pedestrian, but he was riding his bicycle. And I just thought, well, that's kind of having your cake and eating it.
Yeah.
For this amount of time, you're a bicycle, you're a car, and you're considered like a car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ride on the road like I'm a car. Oh, no, I'm not a car. I'm a bicycle. So I don't have to follow the red light rule. And then I can also cross on the crosswalk against, you know, while you're waiting.
No, you're right. It should be. But the problem with the license is then at what age do you get that? Because, you know, 5-year-old rides a bike. You know, yeah. You give that kid a license. What are you going to do?
Well, maybe.
Like, at what age do you then become that?
It is tricky.
Yeah.
It is tricky.
Tricky business. And what do you all think?
No, it's a risky business.
Is it? I thought that was when you brought prostitutes over when your parents were out.
That is a risque business.
Have your
business.
Kids ever done that?
That is a risque business.
That must be a parent's
worst nightmare. Have my kids ever done that?
Yeah, just running a brothel out of the house when you're away.
Yeah, they brought some boys over. Turned out they were wolves.
Just a pack of them.
Just a pack of boys.
Well, you can, you know, they pee in all the corners, mark their territory. Now, who owns the house? They do.
They do.
That's the way that goes. Dave, it is...
We're getting kind of late here. We need to move on.
It's what I was about to do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you not sense? Where do you think I was going there?
I thought you were going to say something else about boys.
No, I was trying to transition into movies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Smooth.
I misunderstood.
You know
it's
what?
It's only been 96 shows.
I know. We're reading each other's signals beautifully.
Yeah,
of course. We have this unwritten language.
Of course.
Because language is unwritten.
It usually is.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you do the transition then, sir?
No, you can do it. You were going to do it. Okay. Just fine.
Dave? Transition movies.
Okay, one of our friendly listeners, Mary Hook, who bought shirts from us. Speaking of shirts, you like those shirts that Ian finally sent right 2 minutes later, right, Mary?
She wears them well.
She sent.
She also wears
a
caustic soda shirt every so often.
Yeah, but
looks terrible in that. That thing. Oh my gosh,
black
terrible.
Is not your color.
Not at all. The Sneaky Dragon shirts look fantastic on
great.
Anybody.
Oh yeah,
caustic soda shirt.
Not so much.
Yeah, sorry. We're gonna have to ask you to leave, ma'am. she wrote us a note.
She wrote us a note. And
by the way, if you guys want to write us a note, many ways to write us a note on Sneaky Dragon webpage, go on our Facebook page, we're on Twitter, we're on all the things that everyone is at on 2013.
Yes, including MySpace. That's 2013, right?
It is according to when I play Scrabble, and I can't play my next round because I got to see an ad for MySpace come up. And there's all these kids dancing around to music.
There you
and
go.
It's like, is it? Okay, MySpace, fair enough. You're really making me angry, and I just want to play this, you know, triple word.
Well, they try to get more hip. It's now pronounced Miss Backe. So, Mary went, this is kind of she's kind of going retro. She's going back. Remember quite a while ago, we would discuss listeners' top 10 lists. Roddy McDowell, that's one of them.
All Roddy episodes.
All Roddy. Roddy Piper.
That's right.
And we would talk about listeners' top 10 lists of movies, their favorite movies. So Mary has sent us her top 10 list of movies.
Now, this is her... Okay, I was a little confused. I thought this was part of the list of movies that went on too long. So this is not
that,
right?
No, this is her
top 10.
This is her top 10.
Bestest
movies friends.
Ever.
Yes.
All right.
She likes to curl up in her caustic soda shirt at night and watch these films.
Ugh. Well, unless she's doing laundry. It's
so she sent
to wear laundry.
She sent them in no particular order. So that means we should start at 8 and then move randomly up and down from there.
I'm all for that.
We'll start at 10, actually.
All right. Let's do a little chin wag. Here we go.
So the first one is one I've never seen. So I'm going to put this into your court, because I'm sure you've seen it. It's called Cube.
Right. It's about the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, it's a documentary?
And it's a family's attempt to solve it together, and they're descended to madness.
That's right. Because someone changed one of the tile pieces on it without telling them?
That's right. It actually could not be solved. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. They actually had more than one red.
Yeah.
It was making them crazy. No, the idea behind this, it's a wonderful movie with two terrible, terrible, terrible sequels. And the reason that the sequels are terrible...
Yeah.
It's because there's mysteries that are set up in the original that are solved in the second and third one. And who the fuck wants that?
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Is the third one called Cube Cubed?
It's called the second one is called, I believe, Hyper Cube 2 Hypercube.
Okay.
And I believe the third one is called Cuba Gooding Jr.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it traps everyone in the movie Snow Dogs.
So the
concept behind this is people find themselves in a cube and have to find their way to the exit of the cube.
Okay.
And each room in the cube has some trap or something that they have to solve. And if they do not solve it, you are killed in a horrible, horrible way.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
It's quite exciting. And the
movie could have been called Gortle.
Why would it be called that?
Because gory and it's like Portal.
Very good. Nice. The idea is there's on each wall of the cube, there's a door.
Okay.
You have to solve something to get that door to mm-hmm. open. And
can I ask a question? Is there a Sphinx who asks the riddles at each door?
No, there is not. Oh. No, there is not.
I'm not interested now.
It really is a good scary film, and the conceit behind it as a film, you know, if you look at it, you just go like, oh, it's the same room every time, but yeah. you know, all you have to do is light it a little bit differently or have some other little trap in there. Yeah. So
you just change the fern. You just change the location of the fern each time.
A little
time.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really, I mean, the less said about this one, it's one of those films that you don't want to say too much about at all.
Okay.
But like the characters are really, really good. The mysteries that you do get hinted at are quite good. Mm-hmm. And I like kind of the dark message behind it that, again, once you've solved it in the second and third, fucking who cares?
Mm.
Who cares? You know, you want to, it's such a good concept that you want to be able to fill in those gaps yourself, and you cannot in the second and third film. So do not watch the second and third movies.
Okay.
No need. But Cube, disturbing, legitimately tense and scary, some funny bits in it, and I believe it's Canadian.
Oh.
At least there's Canadian actors in it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
About the film, without spoiling it for people, is it reality that they're in? Do you know it's reality, or is it possibly like it's a dream, or that it's? Do you know what I mean?
It is a device that they are in. That is
so. It is reality. This is the reality that they're living in.
Okay. In the second and third ones, they've changed rules, so possibly not. But in the first one, yes, it's a solid real thing that's
okay.
real.
Okay.
The reasons for it
mm.
Are you can fill in some blanks, some hints are made.
Okay.
But yes, it is actual real thing. It's not, they're not in hell.
No.
It's not a dream.
Okay.
It's nothing like that.
Okay. Just curious. Okay. So the next film, number 9 on the list, is The Shawshank Redemption.
I have only seen parts of this.
Really?
Yes.
Because that's a really good movie. And as you know, I am actually not a fan of the director of that movie because he made the terrible, terrible film The Mist.
Okay.
And he also is director of the not-so-good TV show The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I don't director or producer of it.
Is it? All right. I can't remember some seasons of The Walking Dead.
Okay. But this film is quite good. But I mean, it's based on it's pretty much like
this is Stephen King, right?
Yeah. If you blew it, you just blew it because it's... to me, it's Stephen King's very best story. Like, I love the story Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption is the name of the short story it's taken from. And I just think it's a great story. If I reread it now, which I did keep, like when I was in my 20s, I did a big cull of my Stephen King books. Like, I had all his books.
Did you take away the movie, the book The Culling by Stephen King as
I
well?
I think I did cull that. I culled The Cull as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I kept The Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Different Seasons, which is where The Body, which became Stand By Me,
yep.
and Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption were in. And I kept Firestarter. I don't know why. I just really like the book Firestarter.
Okay.
So I kept those three. Oh, and also Night Shift, I think it's called. The collection of short stories.
Yeah.
Do you know that one?
Yep.
Okay. I kept those four books, and then I just got rid of everything else. Because I just went through this kind of I don't like Stephen King phase. And I kind of regret it now because I have a big collection of books. It'd be nice to have like a full collection of Stephen King books. But at the same time, what the fuck? I don't even want to read them
again.
Well,
let me ask you this really fast. Your top five Stephen King movies that were successful. Go.
Well, The Dead Zone would be one for sure.
Agreed.
I think that's probably his best. The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Stand By Me.
Yep.
Let me just think here. The one that it's just a screenplay that he did. Oh, it has to be a book. Cause I was thinking of the Creep Show.
All right. Let's go Creep Show.
And then, Carrie would have to be in there.
Okay. I also like, Misery.
Misery is way better than the book. I have not read the whole book, but I read parts of it and it's so gross and yucky. Whereas the movie is actually kind of low key, believe it or not, the movie is lower key in terms of gore and horrible things happening than the book is.
Yeah,
but if you did
sense.
What the book does, it would be so awful that the movie would just overshadowed
the worst part
by
of
it.
Misery is that you're thinking what's happening next.
Mm.
You're in that guy's position waiting for her to come in and do some shit to you.
Yeah, I would say.
So,
Misery is really good too. Okay, let me take a Creepshow because
And I'm going to say, we haven't said The Shining.
I don't like
The Shining?
I saw it in grade 8. My dad took me to see it.
All right.
My dad took me to see it and I just had read the book.
Nope, it's not.
It's
the
not
book.
The book. It's a totally separate thing. It's someone, and at that time I was not prepared.
Stephen King agrees. He did not care for it.
I just wasn't ready for, I just didn't understand jazz, and so I wasn't ready for someone to do a jazz version of The Shining.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to go and I wanted to hear someone do the Beatles song as Beatlemania. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to hear, you know, Otis. Yeah, I didn't want to hear Otis Redding do Day Tripper. I wanted to hear Beatlemania do, you know, their exact copy of the Beatles version of the song.
Right.
And so I wanted The Shining to be the exact book that I had just read on the screen for me.
I think as a work of art on its own, that's probably the
looking back at it now, I can appreciate it, but I love the art direction of it, and I love how it looks, and yeah, and but there's parts of it I don't like. I don't like Scatman Crothers' character being killed as soon as he walks in the door. Mm-hmm. Oops, spoilers, everybody. I'm sorry to wreck a film from 1979. But, you know, it's just things like that. I just still, you know, and Shelley Duvall's character, I don't know. There's parts that I think are great. I love her running through the house and all the weird time jump where she's seeing things from the past and that inexplicable blood pouring down, which I thought was really cool when I saw it in grade 8. I watch it now and I'm kind of like, what is that happening for?
And the bear blowing a guy.
I really like that. That's great. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, that's weird and cool and kooky. And
yeah, I don't know where to put that in my head.
And his going into the room is very scary too. But anyway, we're going off of Shawshank, but you haven't really watched it, so it's hard to talk about. But it's a really good. It is really good. And once again, it
get busy living or get busy dying.
I think it kind of glosses over some of the more pungent parts of the story. Like the story, you know, as Stephen King writes it. You know, there's a little bit more reality to the prison sequence, you know, of the how horrible it would be to actually be in prison. The movie kind of glosses over some of that content. And I think, you know, in the book, it's fine. Visually, you know, there's something different between reading something and seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes things that you see can overwhelm you and it just takes away from the story and it just becomes too much, you know. So, and I think Stephen King, when he's writing, it's easy to write those things. You don't have to worry about how they look to people. It's in your imagination and you can imagine it as much as you want or as little as you want. Mm-hmm. But when it's on a screen in front of you, there's only one thing you're seeing and that is exactly what's happening on the screen, right? So, Frank Darabont, that's the name of the director of that film.
Okay.
And
sounds like a James Bond villain.
Yes, he was. And Darabont. Then he became a director. Darabont, Frank Darabont.
All right, moving to number 8 is a film I have not seen.
Me neither.
Okay, fuck it.
It seems like it's Orange is the New Black for men. And that it's a guy who does something.
Yeah. Why don't we say what the name is?
Oh, the movie's called Felon, sorry. Or maybe it's the Spanish film, the comedy Felon. No, it's called Felon. And it's about Jimmy Felon. And it's basically he murders a man by singing to him with children's toys and drives him crazy. This man dies.
Okay.
You started the Jimmy Fallon thing. Why are you looking so horrified? What's this
children's toys thing? I thought
you never seen Jimmy Fallon. They'll do like a hit song.
Yeah.
But they'll play children's toys.
Oh, okay.
Like toy xylophones and things. Oh, I've never seen those videos.
Well, toy instruments is different than with toys.
Oh, children's toys. Oh, I meant children's toy instruments.
That is possible. They could be killing someone with children's toys.
I should have been clearer.
There have been movies with that as a theme.
Yeah, yeah.
Trilogy of Terror.
Monkey Shines.
Okay. Toy Story 4. Woody's Revenge.
Terror Story. That's what it's called. So what were we talking about?
Felon.
Oh, Felon. So yeah, this guy does something illegal. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's illegal, like he had to do it or it's, you know what I mean? Like one of those certain things where you're not like, gee, he's a bad criminal. You're like, oh, I can see how that would happen. But then he ends up in prison. And then it seems like, I just watched the trailer for it just to see. I was kind of what is this movie about? It stars an actor who, he's one of those guys where you're like, oh, he might be famous one day. But then he wasn't. But I can't remember his name now. He was in Blade.
Then your story checks out.
He was the bad vampire in Blade.
Which Blade?
The first Blade.
I meant which Blade. In the series, which Blade? Who was the first one? All right.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of guys where you're like, oh, he's on the verge of,
Oh, damn. I think Kevin Dorff?
Stephen Dorff. Yeah, he's the main character.
Kevin Dorff is an improviser.
And then Val Kilmer plays a heavily mustachioed hirsute fellow who's also in prison. And he seems like he's kind of the guru character. And then, but Stephen Dorff's character, he ends up getting tattooed up and ends up seeming to be involved with the neo-Nazis and stuff like that. Now, the trailer could be leading me down the garden path.
Yeah.
It may be like I've setting me up. I've
been fooled before. Highlander 4, you have fooled me before. So, yeah.
But that's what it seemed like. And I was watching, I was thinking, oh, it's kind of like Orange is the New Black, but really serious.
All right, I'll try and catch this for sure. All right, moving on to a film that we might have seen. Now, here's the thing. This film, there's so many of these that I'm not sure which one this is.
Yeah.
The Pink Panther Strikes Again. I am going to guess.
I think I know which one it is.
Because there was the Pink Panther. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was your straight out Pink Panther movie.
Yeah.
Then there was Shot in the Dark, which was not actually really a Pink Panther movie. It was a movie that they shoved Inspector Clouseau sort of into. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I think this was the first one where it started getting silly.
And there's
broad.
Another Pink Panther. I think there's another one called Inspector Clouseau.
Right, but that's Alan Arkin. Yeah. That's right. But this is the Pink
and
Panther.
And then there was the Return of the Pink Panther,
right?
Which I've only seen once. And it was actually the first one that I saw of all those films. And I saw it when I was like in grade 4 or something. Or, no, it couldn't have been that.
And
I saw
then the rest seemed
grade
to be
6
like
or grade
made
7.
Of like, we found some film, let's shove this together.
No. This one, the Strikes Again is still part of it. Because that's the one.
Oh, no. I think Strikes Again might have been the third.
It was, no, it was the last of that. It came after the Return of.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shut
up. Is it the one where he goes to the castle?
Ah,
you know,
with
when he's got the
disintegrator ray,
and he's got the melting because Herbert Lom's character has, that's a really good one.
Okay, yeah, I'm all on board on that.
That has like the craziest Kato stuff. I think his name is Kato.
The weirdest thing about the Pink Panther movies, because I got the set and watched like a bunch of them in a row is how tonally different they are. Like especially the first three, radically tonally different. Like,
yeah,
completely.
Well, the first one, Clouseau is really just a minor character in
it. Well, he's trying to get laid. Like, that's the whole thing about it. I just want to be with a lady.
Well, he's French, of course.
Just mildly interested. Oh, yeah. The lady likes me. Okay. But he's not, you know, there's a little bit of slapstick, but not much at all.
Okay.
And then by the third one, he's just, you know.
Cuckoo crazy.
Cuckoo crazy banana pants.
A Shot in the Dark has a lot of, because it has him in the nudist colony where he's got the guitar that he's trying to use to cover himself up and blah, blah, blah.
But that one, it's like Clouseau is a character in not a Pink Panther movie, it feels like. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
but
okay.
It still has elements. It still has the Inspector Dreyfus and still has.
It's got elements, but it really does not feel like. It's weird because the first one doesn't feel like it fits with the third one either. Like all three are just so radically different.
I bet you Strikes Again wasn't, or sorry, Return of the Pink Panther was not in that set though, I bet.
Oh boy, I don't know.
It takes place in Monte Carlo or someplace like that.
I don't know. I just remember how jarringly different they
are. And
all
it actually had the Pink Panther in it. It had the gem in
the
that version. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good bit of trivia. It's like, what is the Pink Panther?
Yeah, because it's like you say, it's in the first film. Whoops. It's in the first film. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It was in the first film. It was not in Shot in the Dark, not in Inspector Clouseau. It's in Return of, and then it's once again, it's not in... The Pink Panther Strikes Again, which is if you watch that film on television, they would often, there was this Oktoberfest scene of various assassins trying to kill Clouseau. Have you seen that version?
I think so. I think I've seen them all.
Oh, because you've seen the DVD, so it would have been on there. But often on television, they cut out that part.
Oh, okay.
That part was entirely cut out to make it fit into a movie TV time. Which is quite it's sort of a fun part when you're a kid because it has the busty woman with the spikes coming out of her brassiere. Yeah. And then it has that little guy who is in the little person who is in, like, I think he was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and stuff like that.
So, oh, okay.
In the remake with Tim Burton.
Oh, really? Okay.
He plays like a midget assassin. Oh, I said midget. I meant to say little person.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're trying to say.
A little person assassin in it.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I think Omar Sharif is in that one as well in role. Yeah,
okay.
There's a lot of...
This is all things I need to watch again. Okay, that's good. You know, here's total blasphemy. This is complete, total blasphemy.
Blasphemy away,
I like the first Steve Martin remake. It was okay.
I have never seen it.
I know you haven't. Why would you?
I do not like Steve Martin.
No, I understand. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm even Roxanne?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's got a little bit too much Steve Martin in it.
Okay, fair enough. Really don't like The Jerk.
I've watched it once a long time ago.
I think you should watch The Jerk again.
It did not win me over.
I think you should watch The Jerk again. Okay. But P and I were like sitting down and it was on. And it was like, we had the lowest expectations in the world. Mm. Just went, let's just make fun of it. Mm-hmm. And then there was like gag after gag. It was like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it won us over and it was like, we're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe we're just in the mood. Maybe I was drunk. I don't know.
I'll just say about Strikes, what is it called again? Pink Panther Strikes Again. If we're thinking of the right one, I hope we are.
It's the one where he goes on strike.
It's the one where he goes on strike. That's right. Inspector Dreyfus is unfair to Clouseau's.
Yeah.
It's one of Lisa's all-time favorite films. My wife Lisa's is one of her all-time favorite films. She loves that movie so much.
Cool.
Because I think it's one of those films that were like on New Year's Eve kind of movies.
Yeah.
That you saw when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Because it was on a lot.
Yeah, it was a special.
And so it has that special kind of whatever that has that sentimental or nostalgic resonance for you, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. So that I will give that one a thumbs up.
Nice. The next film, you're going to go, how did you not ever see this? I have not seen this one. The Exorcist.
Well, you're not a fan of the horror movie.
I'm a fan of some horror movies. I am not a fan of that kind of horror movie. And though I have
What kind of horror movies? That religiously themed horror movies?
I think because I had the Catholic upbringing, that kind of stuff is really creepy to me. And I don't want to see, like, a little girl get, you know, be, like, possessed. I don't like seeing kids get hurt and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know.
For some reason, as a father, I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, even The Shining bugs me for that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, when you see the kid who's, like, so terrified. Danny. Like, I get where you're going with it, and I get the reason for it, but it's just, like, it's just a little bit. It's like when a cat gets killed in a movie for me, I'm done. I don't want to see that fucking movie.
Well, that's funny. So you have a friend who, if it's a dog who gets killed, he's done.
Yeah, I don't want to see that movie. And
once again, as a cat and dog owner, that's one of my favorite parts of a film.
Sure. But why don't you talk about The Exorcist?
I'll say
I like the parody of it in the latest, like, Seth Rogen movie. I enjoyed that.
In Scary Movie? You enjoyed the parody?
No, sir. Not Scary Movie. It was a This Is the End, That's the End, Here's the End of
you
This.
You saw that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
You saw it without me, because we were going to go see it together.
I got it at home if you want to see it.
It's a bit late now, isn't it?
Oh,
okay. Kind of ruined the whole thing.
Oh, well, all right. Fair enough.
Fuck you. Just joking.
Just came out yesterday on DVD, but okay, fair enough.
I saw this film as a young adult, so it didn't shape me, but it is a very good film. Mm-hmm. It's not William Friedkin's best film.
Which would be
Sorcerer.
All right. Which I have not seen.
That's a really good movie.
Okay.
But so is The Exorcist. I mean, Exorcist is a great film. One of the things I love
Everyone
about...
Everyone agrees with you.
One of the things I love about that film, and I don't know why I love it so much, is there's a scene where Regan, the character played by Linda Blair,
I've seen a lot of it. You can't not see a lot of it.
Okay. There's a scene where she has a Ouija board and she's talking to a spirit, but he's called Captain Howdy.
Yes.
Which I just love that name so much. It's just like the greatest name. And it just seems so, it gives that kind of feeling of reality to it, that it's weird. You know, when something like that is weird but right at the same time.
Yeah.
I really like that in a movie. And I can't think of other examples of that, but I really like that part in the film. The religious part of it, I don't think it's kind of ham-handedly handled. Like I don't feel like the characters are really religious. You know what I mean? It has that Hollywood or 1970s religiosity, mm-hmm. which is not that much religion, you know, so that you feel like these guys don't even know what they're talking about. They have no, there's no feeling of faith or.
Did this come out before or after Rosemary's Baby?
After. Rosemary's Baby was about 69.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone was just devil crazy at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you go through phases of, like, what people find scary.
Yeah.
It seemed like the devil was the guy.
Yeah, there was a lot of this film, because there was, like, that movie with Peter Fonda and Warren Oates where they're, like, people in a Winnebago and they see a human sacrifice done by some sort of witch's coven or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they end up being chased by these people, and I can't remember what it's called, but...
I just remember there's a lot of
race
movies
with the, Race from the Devil or Race to the Devil or
there's
something.
There's also The Devil's Daughter with Shelley Winters, and mm-hmm. I remember mm-hmm. watching that on as a kid. Yeah, there's a lot of
Rosemary's Baby kind of kicked that trend into full speed, and the huge success of The Exorcist really, really, you know, because that movie was like it was a really big hit, and one of those films where, because it had people protesting it, right? I mean, the Catholics were up in arms, and you know, so that kind of gives it legs as well. And one of the
when people are up in arms, that gives it legs.
Yes, exactly. You're saying I mixed my metaphors there?
I don't think that's the right expression at all.
So, but one of the other interesting things in the film is there's a part in the movie where it's not during one of the scary sequences. The priest, the young priest, is just walking along, you know, by himself or whatever. And it has this quick cut to this horrific face.
Yeah.
And
I know what you mean.
What's interesting is when people watch that scene in the 70s, that was a quick cut. That was like, wow, that happened so fast. I didn't even see it. There's a lot of people who didn't see it in the theater.
Yeah.
First time I saw it, and in the 90s, it seemed like a really quick cut. But then when I saw it again more recently, after being inundated with Michael Bay movies and MTV, you know, style editing and movies, it seems like it's an hour-long cut to this face. Like, it just feels like it's there forever, you know? And you're like, wow, I can see it so clearly. Whereas before, it was like this instantaneous face. Actually made my friend, David M, who's been on the show, I made him, like, step back so that we could see the face frozen on the screen so we could see more clearly. the next time I saw it, or the third time that I saw it, I was just like, I could see it so clearly because my eyes had become used to seeing instantaneous images.
Yep.
It was interesting.
A lot of people use that face as their avatar on certain things.
Oh, okay.
So I've seen it over and over again.
Yeah.
I liked about now is that face supposed to be like a demon or the devil?
I don't know what it is.
Like I took it as a demon. And what I liked about that face when I saw it was like, oh, that's just need.
Yeah.
This needy. It's not okay. Because it's not a strong, confident thing that's like, hey, yeah. I'm coming. It's like, yeah. I just need so bad. And it was like, yeah, that's what a demon would look like. Just like so fucking needy. Just need.
That's a cool interpretation of it. Yeah. No, I do love that film. I know, you know, William Friedkin was on like a super run, right? He did French Connection. Then he did The Exorcist. Then he did Sorcerer, which he kind of blew it with that film. I'm sure it's called Sorcerer. Please, if I'm saying it wrong, someone can correct me by calling me an idiot. But I'm sure it's called Sorcerer. But it's one with. But what's funny about it is,
are you thinking of Mr. Magic Pants?
It has nothing. It has nothing to do with the occult or anything like that. It's a movie about a bunch of people who have washed up through various circumstances in this poverty-stricken South American town, and they have a chance to escape by transporting nitroglycerin, incredibly unstable nitroglycerin, through the jungle to this mine where there's a fire.
Why is it called Sorcerer?
Because that's the name of one of the trucks in the movie. The real name of the film was called Wages of Fear, I believe. It was a French film directed by Henri Clouzot, not Inspector Clouzot.
It's nope.
Different spelling. And what's funny is when Friedkin made it, when he made the film, when he made Sorcerer, and he, you know, he made it to remake Wages of Fear, because he had all this incredible clout after doing The Exorcist. And when he screened it, he stood up and he said, "See, I knew I couldn't beat Clouzot." Which is a crazy thing to say, you know, I'm not as good as a film I was trying to remake. But it was a really unfortunate choice of title because, you know, it gave people the expectations of there was going to be more of The Exorcist style. And what had nothing to do with that. And it has like, because there's four different characters, it gives them all their backstory. So there's like 45 minutes of backstory before you get to like the heart of the film, which I love. I love that myself as a person who loves 70s movies. I really like that kind of long storytelling.
70s movies take their damn time.
And I love that element of them.
Yeah.
But, and it pays off because the tension as it starts to ratchet up is awesome. But, you know, you have to wait for it. But it is a really good film. But anyway, but then he started making junk. But I mean, he also made some great films like To Live and Die in L.A.
Yeah.
That's an awesome film.
Agreed.
And I mean, we went and saw it together. It's not a very good film. Jade with David Crusoe.
That is not a good film, but it's got a great.
That car chase is amazing.
Car chase is amazing.
That car chase is amazing. Like, I remember we were talking about Michael Bay's terrible car chase in The Rock, which is just an awful car chase because it has no there's no spatial sense to it. So you don't know where people are in relation to each other. So there's no tension. It's just a lot of camera movement and sounds of cars racing. And then you watch the car chase in Jade and it's a really slow car chase because it's through San Francisco in traffic. So it's two cars moving slowly. Like there's a scene where they're going through like Chinatown through a parade. And it's just like, you could walk faster than the cars are driving.
You're so bored through the rest of the movie that when this happens, you're just, huh? It's almost like watching, it's almost like watching a porno movie.
Yeah.
And you're going like, why am I sitting through this crappy acting? Oh, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. And now we're back to the acting. I've lost all interest in this movie.
But yeah, it was, well, it was kind of like that because after the car chase was over, you felt like leaving.
Yeah.
I just turned it off.
Well, I was hoping there's another car chase.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking like maybe there'll be another, and there wasn't.
And To Live and Die in L.A. had that fantastic car chase going the opposite way down the L.A. freeway, which is, I think, one of the first times I saw that. And now it's fairly common in films
to
have
that. I gotta see that too. Damn it. Okay.
Really good
we're
movie.
Running out of time, so we're going to move, through these. I say running out of time. We can make our own schedule, but, you know, life goes on.
Next movie, Shutter Island.
Have not seen Shutter Island. Sorry.
Martin Scorsese.
Is it based on a comic? Am I wrong about that?
I don't really know.
So neither of us have seen that.
No, I saw it. I just don't know if it's based on a comic.
All right.
It's a very good film. Very good. But, I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. So, I mean, and that's got Leonardo DiCaprio, who's a rather good actor. And I won't tell you very much about the film because it's a...
Twisty-turny.
It's a twisty-turny film.
Do they pull something in that you would not like to see in a Cube movie, perhaps?
No. It's kind of a sad twist.
Very good.
But it's a very good film.
I would see a movie called Sad Twist.
It's not an upsetting twist, but it's a very interesting film.
I think we have it.
Oops, sorry.
PVR'd. I should have watched it before we did this. Speaking of movies with semi-sad endings, depending on how you feel about it, Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder. When I saw it, I thought it was, I haven't seen it since I saw it. I thought it was very good.
It's one of my top three dead Macaulay Culkin movies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How many dead Macaulay Culkins does it rate?
I'd say out of three.
Out of five. Yeah.
It's three out of five because there's only three dead Macaulay Culkin movies, which are My Girl, Killed by Bees, Bad Seed, I believe Thrown in a Well, I think. I'm not sure, but he does die in a good way. Okay. And then I'm not really sure in Jacob's Ladder, but, you know.
What about Party Monster? Does he die in that movie?
Oh, good point. Good point. It's possible. Possible there's four.
Okay.
Good call.
I can't remember.
I
saw it, but I can't remember.
The poster seems to say so.
Yeah,
Ellen. But Jacob's Ladder. You feel like, boy, that is a cold ice bath in there that he gets thrown into. Holy cow, that was. And I had a cold when I watched it, so I was feeling sick through it.
Mm-hmm.
So as things get worse and worse, I was kind of having a pounding fever headache.
Yeah.
And so I think the film hit me deeper than it normally would.
Did we see it together?
Possibly. I think we saw it at the Lux. I think we saw it at a theater that does not exist.
I thought it was
anymore.
A Capital Six, but you could be right.
I believe it was. Yeah, I believe it was the Lux because we saw it like kind of in the gas tank area.
Okay. Maybe we didn't see it together. But anyway,
I believe we saw it in a theater where some of the seats were just chairs someone threw out.
Okay, I don't think I saw it in the real theater. Okay. I know I saw it with a lot of people because I went kind of early on, and I don't know why I was interested in seeing it, and I wasn't.
Yeah, me too.
I wasn't like a big fan of the director.
I think I knew that there was a mystery to it, and I wanted to see it before people blabbed.
Yeah, maybe that's because I had never seen Fatal Attraction, which was the big hit that gave him the clout to make this kind of a.
I definitely saw that one in a theater that had make 'em up seats, just couches that people threw in when the seats broke. Yeah, in Nelson, BC. Yeah. But I liked it. Good Tim Robbins performance. Mm-hmm. Scary all over the place. Creepy.
Yeah, creepy more than scary. But
you don't like needles. This is not the movie for you at all. You don't like ice. This is not the movie for you at all.
Well, that sequence when I think he's dancing with Elizabeth Pena and she starts to, she has a tail. You remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's very early on in the film and you're like, and then you start to really wonder what's going on, what's happening. That's a very good film, and I mean we can't talk about it too much because there may be people who haven't seen it because it's fairly old.
And it's tough for those kind of movies sometimes nowadays for me. The wait a minute, what? Everything's crazy, and they're going to tell you what it is in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. It's sometimes tough to have that patience nowadays.
Well,
to me.
And it's almost like a hour and a half Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, you're waiting
where
for it,
when the payoff finally comes, you're like, well, that's a long time to get. It's like when the Twilight Zone went from a half an hour to an hour. And you're like, you know what? You don't need an extra half an hour to tell the story you're telling. You know,
shorter is better.
Shorter is better.
Okay,
that's what they said to Elizabeth Pena's tail. this is kind of out of left field to me. This film, but it's Apollo 18.
Now, am I thinking?
And
the
people
right
are going to find this appalling, but I've never seen this.
Is this
movie.
The Tom Hanks?
I believe it's the Tom. I've seen a little bit of it. Tom
Am
Hanks.
Am I thinking the right one? With Kevin Bacon, Tom Hanks.
Directed by Ron
Howard.
Yeah,
we're thinking of the right
with
film.
With Ed Harris.
Yeah, it's a good procedural. It's a good disaster in space that's real.
Yeah.
I mean, the only problem with it is you know how it turned out.
Yeah, not good.
Well.
They came back. I don't like astronauts is what I'm saying.
Oh, is that right?
I just have a real problem with astronauts.
Hmm.
Fucking assholes. You know what basically they are? Jocks in space.
If it makes you feel better, here's something that happens when
they're
you're
the high status guys in high school.
Yeah.
Only they get to go to space.
Here's something that happens when you're in space that I found out. Mm. You actually end up peeing some of your bones out and that you really never get back.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
no matter how much milk you drink?
Nope. Because milk does not grow bones. Milk strengthens bones.
Oh.
It does not create bones.
So I should stop drinking milk for my performance problems? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you should stop peeing bone out.
Okay.
So when you're in space, that's just something that happens to astronauts, which is why you should not stay in space for an extended period of time. There's no scenes with them peeing bone, by the way, in this movie. I've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah.
No,
it's like pees a big dinosaur bone out of his...
Movie that could be... Here's the thing I like about Ron Howard.
It's called a kidney bone.
Ron Howard does movies that you think would not be a good idea.
Okay.
And then pulls them off.
Well, that's another example. Just one more.
I think he pulled off Willow. That's just me. I think he pulled off Willow. I could go, oh, damn
he
it.
He pulled something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like all the Ron Howard movies, but they were almost always a different genre. It's very seldom he does the same genre in a row. But in this one.
Night Shift? Did he pull off Night Shift?
Yeah, I think he made Michael Keaton.
Parenthood? Did he pull off Parenthood?
Yeah, I think Parenthood was quite good.
No, I like that movie.
Yeah. It spawned two TV series. It's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Both named Parenthood. What I think he pulled off in this one is, you know what happens.
One was called Parents in the Hood.
So how do you build suspense when you know what's going to happen?
Parents was spelt with a Z.
There you are.
Yeah.
All right. You got any more?
No, that's all.
Okay. I feel like...
Just helping out.
No. I felt like you had that siphon hose, and it just like take a couple of tugs on it, and then all these jugs were just coming out, and he's just like, all right.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Just going to wait till the tarp's drained. Okay, we're all dry now.
All right, say what you're going to say.
I was just going to say, so what he did was he turned it into almost a procedural mm-hmm. of like you saw how they went about doing yeah. things, and it became a really good character drama, and that really could have been dull.
Yeah.
That could have been dull because mm-hmm. like, are they going to make it? Are they not? We know they're going to make it, but they... It's very well done, very well paced.
My brother
and people being smart in space, which I also like, yeah. not succeeding because of luck, succeeding because of intelligence, yeah. and actually like breaking out the old slide rules.
That's good in any movie.
I know. I like seeing people break out the old slide rules and just do a little math mm-hmm. and figure some shit out. I really enjoy that in a movie.
My brother, his first wife's parents had a cabin. Actually, right near where right near where my brother-in-law has his cabin now.
Right.
But
gotta watch out for space, Bigfoot.
When we went there, they didn't have electricity, so we had to watch things by the power of a car battery or a generator. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to watch Apollo 13. So we started watching it, but I can't remember what happened. We got distracted and stopped watching it. But what I liked in it, there was a scene, yeah, you kind of brought it up, which is when Ed Harris says, "We're going to get these guys down. We're going to solve this problem, and I want you guys to figure it out right now." And everyone in the room reaches and takes out their slide rule.
Yep.
And I love that moment because no one uses slide rules anymore because we all have calculators that can do trigonometry.
Yep.
But these guys, you know, boop, had to get them out, start doing their cosines and their...
Yep. You got a room full of really smart people. Yeah. Let's figure this shit out.
Yeah, I did enjoy that sequence.
I also enjoy thinking that there's rooms full of smart people in the world. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll figure some stuff
out. Yeah, they'll do
it. Okay, moving on.
Moving on to a movie that I like a lot, called Mulholland Drive.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. One of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. Really deeply, deeply disturbing.
And you find the ending scary.
Yeah, very much so.
Because you don't like old people that are small.
For some reason, like when I saw it, the idea of like these elderly people crawling under the door mm-hmm. really freaked me out. Just because it's like you've got certain defenses in your head for certain things, like it's a ghost movie. Well, I know ghosts aren't real, so that's not going to scare me. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's this crazy murdering psychopath who's all powerful. Well, I know Jason's not real, so that's not going to scare me.
Yeah.
And I understand that tiny little old people aren't real either.
Yeah.
But holy fuck, I've got nothing prepared to, you know, and so it just comes, slides right in and gets into your fear hole mm-hmm. and just like bashes around. Like the old people at the beginning where they just start laughing, each other just like laughing. It's just like so creepy.
See, I don't find that creepy at all.
Oh, so
what I think is interesting.
And the guy behind the.
That is fucking creepy. But why
okay,
that?
Okay, we got to actually say words. We
but
can't,
what the?
It makes
what
bad
the...
podcast when we go, and you know the, yeah, I do. The end.
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, let's not spoil it. But it's like, okay. there's something creepy happening behind a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's so dreamlike and so ugh.
But what's great about that sequence is because when the movie opens, it seems very light and very silly. And even when those people are laughing, it feels kind of goofy in a David Lynch goofiness.
Yeah, not in a have a good time.
Not in a creepy, but just kind of goofy and weird. Like just that kind of, and then when that Denny's sequence happens or whatever, that Denny's like restaurant they're at where the guy has this dream mm-hmm. that he sees something behind the restaurant and his friend goes, well, let's go take a look. And then when they see it, the whole tone of the movie changes. And what was light and fancy free before now feels dark and weird and awful. And then after this, there's, you know, after the sex scene in the film, the whole tone of the movie changes. Yeah. And it becomes this sort of through the mirror kind of thing. And I love it because, you know, he's making a TV show and then they wouldn't let him make the TV show. Mm-hmm. And so he had to take what he had made, you know, film for the TV show, and he had to make it into something different, into a movie.
Right.
And so he found a way to incorporate some of the elements, not all the elements, not, you know, some of the things that were being developed are left hanging in the film. But that's okay. You know, it's okay to have some questions after the film's over.
Lynch always leaves you with some questions.
But, you know, he's able to take that and create this fantastic movie out of this and make this extra, you know, new section of the film. And it answers itself in such a way, and it's so excellently done. I really love that film. When I saw it, and when I saw it, I did not have a lot of expectations. I was kind of down on Lynch by that point. I kind of got a little bit tired of him. And I really love Twin Peaks to a point. Mm-hmm. I even enjoyed On the Air, which is a very kind of stilted comedy, but funny when it works.
Worth a look up, by the way, on your YouTube or your Vimeos.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a very good film.
Something he does well, like, is that lightness and that quirkiness, mm-hmm. and then turning the quirk just that little extra, and it's like, what the fuck? You know, he did that very well on Twin Peaks, yeah. where you're like, if Twin Peaks was all scary, you couldn't watch it. Unwatchable. But you've got, like, it's charming and humorous, mm-hmm. and you like the characters, and you're yeah. rooting for the... And then, what am I seeing? Is Bob coming for me over the couch? What the hell is this? Holy shit, what? That guy's the other guy's arm.
The taking things that are familiar and slightly twisting them, or just adding something to a scene that changes the tone of it, which is we're very good at, whether it's a flickering light... Whether it's the girl running screaming through the school, mm-hmm. and you don't see her yeah. again, she's just running screaming, and it's just these things that just change the sequence. You know, we could talk for days about. I just love like the scene in the bank in Twin Peaks where there's a deer head just on the table in the mm-hmm. conference room. You know, and it's unexplained. It's just creepy and odd, but because it gives a different feeling
because it's so much better for you to fill in the blanks because mm-hmm. you know what's creepy to you.
Yeah.
So if you've just put something odd into your movie, people can't just go, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to like add your own context and backstory and mm-hmm. you're going to write yourself. And I think that's something Lynch knows how to do.
Yeah.
He knows to like aim at a hall
yeah.
and just take you down it slowly. And what's terrifying about this hall? Nothing. It's just a hall and it's dark. But what you're doing is you're throwing all the things in that you're scared
yeah.
of, buddy.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what could jump out? What is over here? What's behind me? Mm-hmm. What was that sound? And you're filling it with your own fears. And like the best directors and writers do that.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't so good don't have the confidence. And so you jam it all full of stuff.
Yeah, my favorite shows in the Twin Peaks is the opening episode of the second season. Where Dale is shot and is laying on the floor, mm-hmm. and then he has that vision. I love that sequence because it's just so long.
Yeah,
it takes so long. It's just like that's another thing he's good at is taking his time. You know, he's not a person who rushes to get somewhere. You know, if you're gonna leave a guy laying on the floor for 15 minutes of the show, I'm gonna leave him on the floor. That's what we need, right?
Yeah.
And I just love the final episode. I think it's brilliantly done.
There's a thing on because I was. Person I know just finished watching the series.
Okay.
And so I always send, after someone watches the series, I always send them the Japanese coffee ad that's okay. like four episodes that wraps the whole thing up with them drinking coffee out of a can. You've seen this, right?
I've seen because I know there was a Japanese movie version of Twin Peaks that ends, that has a different ending.
Oh, okay. This is completely different. This okay. is just a four episode ad for coffee
okay.
that uses all the characters from the show. It's mm-hmm. quick. I'll show it to you later. I'll okay. give you some links. But in doing that, it was one of those. Oh, you liked watching this? How about watching this? And it was the silliest thing in the world that just made me laugh. Like, the actual execution wasn't so great. But it was like, without saying, one of the characters in the show ends up living in a knob on a end table.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone made a sitcom about living in a knob. And it's her adventures in the knob with some other people that are living in the knob with her.
Huh.
It's just they have a theme song, when you're living yeah. in a knob. And it's just the silliest thing. But boy, howdy, that just tickled me.
Is she living in the knob? Because her face disappears into it. So she's really...
Well, I believe her soul is trapped in
her
there.
Her soul is trapped,
so
yeah.
she will be in there and she's conscious. So
maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think she's not conscious in there?
I don't know.
All right, we'll talk to Mr. Lynch about that. Finally, folks.
Finally.
Number one.
With a bullet.
Right. The initials are DD. You're right. It's Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Mary, Director's how cut could you, featuring why would you be such a fan of that movie?
It's Doris Day in...
Some Like It Hot. She's not in that movie, sorry.
This is a movie...
Donald Duck.
This is a movie which most people don't know has a sequel. And the sequel ain't no good.
Okay.
Let me say that much.
I didn't
but
know
okay,
that.
Let's get to revealing what the movie is.
Okay, go ahead.
DD, Donnie Darko.
Yes. Okay. Donnie Darko. I just want to point out something before we go much farther. Is
don't watch the sequel.
No.
I know I've mentioned that, but do not look at... You're like, wonder what it's like. No, don't. Well, maybe I'll just watch the trailer. You can, but you know, you don't get the time back. Okay, but continue.
The reason I asked you about the cube being reality or not is because if you look at the list...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of films on there that are about reality or not reality.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, obviously, with Apollo 18, they faked the moon landing. Yeah, and since that time, they've had to fake the whole damn thing. So yeah, that's a faker. Jacob's Ladder.
I'm just thinking Shutter Island, Jacob's
yeah,
Ladder.
Yeah, Shutter, Exorcist.
Mulholland Drive. And
yeah.
Are all about, you know, reality. What is reality? Possible realities, alternate realities.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
So you're saying that she's not real.
That's right. We're getting.
Wait. Are we both her? Two aspects of
yeah,
her?
Yeah. We're two aspects of her.
All right. Let's get to
We're
going to
start making out later on. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it does not end well. Here comes Grandpa underneath the door. All right. So number one, Donnie Darko. That's your Jake Gyllenhaal.
I enjoyed that film.
I did. One of my favorite Patrick Swayze performances.
And Drew Barrymore is in it, too. And she's not bad in it.
She is not bad in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good special effects. Creepy.
That rabbit-like thing. Rather odd.
You get that stupid song stuck in your head forever.
Oh, yeah.
The Mad World.
Mad World.
Oh,
but
boy.
Sung for in the version for people who like Gears of War.
Oh.
Remember that? That trailer for Gears of War and they reused the song?
Oh, geez. It just, I had that in my head for like a good week and a half and it was just so annoying.
That was one of my theme songs as a teenager, as a sad and lonely, pathetic teenager.
Of course it is.
That song just spoke volumes to me.
Of course it does.
Sit and listen to it and cry. But all the girls that didn't like me.
And you'd cry in front of them, which is why they didn't like you.
I would play it. I'd play it on a record player.
Like, hey, Dave, do you want
to
go out?
You gotta listen to the song. Wait, I'm just going to plug it into the wall here of the school. I'm just going to plug it in. I sit here and I went, it's going to make you listen to I can't remember the first line of the song. If I could remember the very first line.
All around me are the... Is that what it is?
All around me are familiar faces, something places. See, like I said in a little while ago, I'm bad at terrible...
I think I'm racist, really racist. Don't like other races.
Yeah.
Racist world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the version you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Two guys with weird names that you can't remember. Roland Orzabal, and I can't remember the other.
It's Donnie Darko is the perfect kind of teen movie in that it ends sad but happy. They got to have that, you know what? Life's not fair, man.
Life's not fair.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Suck it up, bitch.
Yeah, you know what? Do the right thing as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good.
It's really...
Yeah, and again, I cannot stress enough, do not watch the sequel. It's so, bad. It's his sister trying to, like, solve what happened to her brother.
Oh.
And other things happen. And
who plays his sister in that film?
Well, not the same person, I believe, that's in the sequel.
Is it Maggie Gyllenhaal playing his sister?
Ew.
That would be interesting casting.
That would be interesting. Why have those guys never played
that's
a romantic
called stunt
couple?
Casting.
Yeah.
Why have they not played a romantic... It's about time that they had a brother and sister, because it's just acting.
That's right. Well,
what's
actually,
the problem?
That was actually one of my favorite things on Arrested Development, where they had Jason Bateman and Justine Bateman, and she was playing a prostitute, and it was flirting with him and stuff, and it was like, this is so... Oh,
You know what? It's creepy, because she's really old.
You might be thinking, did your MP3 player malfunction? It did not.
That was a long pause.
No, she's a lovely lady.
But you know, it's a pause that refreshes.
It is. Mm. All right, so we have made it through ten.
Yeah,
those
we've struggled through your list, Mary. I hope you're happy now.
That's right. Or did we?
Did we?
Was this all a dream?
In an alternate reality, we did it the other way. We started with Donnie Darko and ended with the first one. We talked about Cube.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's no
All
problem.
Right. You know what?
There was a sequel to Cube. Actually, it's called Havan.
I'm trying to think now. You know what? A lot of these films have shitty sequels. You got your
Pink Panther?
Steve Martin. Exorcist 2 and 3.
2 is terrible. 3 is not bad.
3 is it's got some stuff in it.
2 is fun, though. 2 is a lot of fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Okay, Shawshank Redemption. Back in You Go, it was called. that's right. Pink Panther Strikes Again did have sequels
several
of decreasing,
value.
Apollo 19 was not a great movie.
Apollo 19.
Jacob's Ladder, they did Jacob's Escalator, which was he had to come back and do some unfinished business.
Yeah.
Then you have your Mulholland Drive.
It was actually called Jacob Later.
That's right. Mulholland Drive. We had Mulholland Cul-de-Sac. where they got trapped in
that
reality.
That movie went nowhere.
Absolutely went nowhere. And Donnie Don.
Donnie Don. Donnie.
Which was it's always
Darko
before
the
Dono.
Donnie Dono.
Oh Lord. Look, folks. we're getting closer to the 100th episode and we're getting a little bit, you know,
punch drunk.
A little punch drunk. Look, I promise you a 100th episode was gonna be really solid. If you can come out and
if we
see
can find
us,
a place to have
we'll
it.
Find it.
Yeah.
Can we do it at your place?
Yeah, why not?
No, I don't mean you. I'm asking the listeners.
Oh, listeners. If any of you have a space we could use.
Yeah, I don't
think.
Then the listeners. No, we think we probably do have a
because I'm figuring we'll probably get 6 people out to watch it.
Yeah, probably.
Including my family.
Sure.
And yours.
Yeah.
So I think if you have room in your...
I mean, that's half our listenership.
Room, yeah. If you have room in your basement... Actually, my wife doesn't bother listening to it. But anyway, if you have room in your basement...
We may bring snacks.
And we can bring snacks.
We'll talk about this
We'll
later.
Talk about it.
All right.
We'll come equipped like it's a D&D game. Bring some, you know, bring some Doritos, some pop.
And guys, we're gonna keep it real when we're there, too. Just letting you know.
Keep it reals.
Yeah. All right. That brings us to...
Tote.
That's right. It's going to get cray-cray.
Totes cray-cray. Sobs.
We are not dating this podcast at all. This is going to be as fresh in 2 years when you listen to it as it was in 2013.
As fresh as a day day.
So they call him Day Day Dedrick. All right, please. Why didn't I end this 10 minutes ago? Is what I say every episode. One day I will learn.
Day Day, I will learn. The funniest stuff happens at the end.
It sure does. Which is why we're not putting our plugs here. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Please go on our website. If you go onto iTunes, why not give us a comment? Yeah. If you do so, I don't know if we can read it because we're in Canada. Maybe we can't read it. We can?
You can change the country of your iTunes.
Very good. I should probably do that. But yeah, go on there. And if you like the show, say so. And if you don't, that's fair. Join us on Facebook. We have
Yip-Yaps. If you don't like it, you can also say so.
Flip-flaps. We talk. Yeah. It's fun. Please do go on the Sneaky Dragon website. Dave puts up things about what he's doing.
Yeah.
He gets way too personal. There's cameras all over his house. And there's some footage that you will not be able to unsee. Yeah.
It gets day-day.
It really does get cray-cray in the day-day. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. We do appreciate it. And we're almost to 100, folks. We're almost to 100. Yeah. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm 100.
All right. If you're biking, please bike carefully. If you're driving, please watch out for those bikers.
Yeah.
And stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good night, everyone.
It's not necessarily night.
But it's dark out.
It's Donnie Dark out.
No, I saw trailers
Netflix,
for it.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
At least it was for a while, yeah.
Shoot. Well, I'll have to take a look for that.
Okay.
Why wouldn't that show up in my... You know why it didn't show up in my... Because I watch maybe one or two shows on Netflix, and the rest of the family watch everything else, so all the recommendations are for things that I would never
shirtless
watch.
Shirtless Boys. Yeah, a lot of Shirtless Boys shows.
Shirtless Boys shows. Some documentaries. Lisa likes documentaries.
Let's talk about this on the air.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well, we are kind of... I can just edit this into the show.
That's great. Just point at me
and then
I'll start.
Okay.
I gotta do an intro.